Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle back from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. You heard from us on Penn State, Iowa. 17-12 win for Penn State. 6-0 on the season. James Franklin very excited after this game was over. And I can't believe we didn't talk about that in the first place. I think he knew that they were fortunate to some degree. He also knew that Penn State passed a different kind of test, not playing their best football, getting some adversity thrown their way. The defense, you know, rose to the occasion. The offense did just enough. That was a phrase after the game, just enough. So now we're going to hear a little bit more from him on some of the key themes from this game. First of all, you know, I guess this is a good start, as good a starting point as any, but just the challenge of playing at Kinnick Stadium, the way that Iowa has played there in the past and beaten some really good teams there, nothing could be taken for granted from this game. So here's what he had to say about playing on the road at Iowa.
One, in a tough place to play, a place that's tough to win on the road. You look over the last 3-4 years, the number of people that they've upset at home, night game in this place, the place was rocking. So really proud of our guys.
So Kinnick Stadium was rocking. It almost all for these night games, it always is. You know, it's a smaller stadium, obviously, than Beaver Stadium. You know that these guys, the fans are directly on top of you, but they're fans that have been faithful and loyal to Iowa football for a long time, and they get behind their team, and they did in this game. And I mean, I think to circle back to the theme of, you know, rising to that challenge, they rose to the challenge in different ways. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't perfect by any means. The offense, you came out of that with some questions about, especially, you know, their ability to start fast in games of this magnitude. That's something that they're going to have to prove. They're going to have to prove it on Saturday. But the road environment in its own right was a challenge. It was a test, and Penn State passed another test. It was an energetic crowd at Maryland on a Friday night, but I think that one just felt different. It was a different opponent.
They were gone magnitude. At the end of the first quarter.
Right. They had to stare that crowd down for about 4 minutes of game time.
Right.
Till the students went back to their dorms or whatever it is they did.
Bar.
This was different. Iowa was different. The game felt different. It's two ranked teams playing each other. I think responding to that challenge was a good thing for Penn State.
It's a pain of a place to get to, but it is a fun college town. If you're ever considering a road trip, I would recommend Iowa City being one that you take. But yeah, fantastic atmosphere. There's no doubt about that. But more importantly, a young Penn State team found a way around it. That's key. You'd rather win ugly than lose pretty, and Penn State did that.
And again, I mean, I think you don't know if you can win ugly or not. You don't know if you can kind of keep your focus in the right direction when there's officiating working against you. But Penn State proved it. And speaking of officiating, here's one of the part. There's a two-part James Franklin responding to and mentioning the officiating. This is a direct question about the disparity in penalties. Here's what he had to say.
You know, the thing that was really interesting is one of the least penalized teams in the country. And we come in here tonight and didn't necessarily play out that way. I'll leave it at that. 5 yards to 80 yards.
So I think not a bad job of just offering a subtle critique of the officials, just to say, you know, we had 5 games coming in and we were barely penalized. But then we come in a place like this, and for some reason that wasn't about us, we got way more penalties than we're accustomed to getting. But otherwise, I think, you know, taking the high road not only is the right choice, I think it's the only choice for James Franklin. You know, you just can't, especially when you win the game. I'm curious, you know, if he would have just swallowed a fine or what have you and got his money's worth after the game had they lost, as pretty much a direct result of taking a touchdown off the board, for example.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been – I mean, he would have probably had no choice but to go crazy and take the fine and move on. I'm pretty sure he can afford it. So, ultimately, though, what good does it do? It becomes a focal point then. People are going to talk about that and not about the win, because it's more fun to talk about things like that than it can be to talk about the nuances of how you win a 17-12 game at Iowa in primetime. So, I thought he made the right decision. It was funny. The audio doesn't really do it justice, but he was asked if he had any thoughts on Freiermuth reversal, and he just sort of stared at the guy who asked it and sort of looked around the media room, and it was, I want to say, maybe 15 or 20 seconds, and he kind of had this smirk on his face, and he just says, no. And then I forget how the follow-up went, but it was something like, well, what did you think about the officiating, or he was asked if he had got an explanation about that reversal. He said no. That was when he did the stare, and then he said no. And then he was asked to comment on the officiating, and that's when he gave the answer we just heard. So, I mean, he is in a no-win situation. We have to ask him. I mean, you have to see if he has anything to say about it. It was one of the bigger stories of the game. And he's in a place where if he says too much, he's going to get fined. And he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to speak out about John O'Neill or Tom Kissinger, the replay official, because you're going to see these guys again. For, you know, I know Penn State fans would probably, donate money to a cause if it meant that John O'Neill never had a Penn State game again.
I saw that offer out there.
But I know there's a petition circulating too, but it's not going to happen. You know, I don't think that you can blackball referees in college football. So you're going to run into John O'Neill again. So even if you wanted to berate him up and down the wall, what good would that really do? He can do that when he talks to Bill Carollo, the aforementioned man, mystery man who never talked except for one time a year in the offseason when it doesn't matter. He can do that when he has that weekly conversation, but it doesn't just to sit there and lament that after a huge win for your program heading into the whiteout week. It just, I agree with him 100%. Doesn't really do anyone any good.
Well, here's a little bit more from him elaborating on the situation he was in. So this is James Franklin, quote number two on penalties in this game.
That's a yes or no.
I'd love to do it. Trust me. I'd love to have a lengthy conversation about this. I know our fans want me to have a lengthy conversation about it. It's not gonna do any good. I'm gonna enjoy the win. I'm gonna focus on the things that we can control. I get it. But I'm in a no-win situation here.
I don't think a whole lot more to be said by us on this issue and James Franklin's post-game position on the issue. But, you know, I think it says it all when he said he would love to have a lengthy conversation on penalties. And I was thinking about this coming in today, how much I would love to just, you know, be in the meeting room or be on a phone call that James Franklin was making, a private call that didn't have TV cameras and stuff on him, to see how he really felt about this official and about that performance, because I think it would be colorful. I think it would be very colorful.
Like the HBO show?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be pretty much exactly like that. Yeah, so, I mean, I will, you know, reemphasize again that they do have a chance to talk to the conference, talk to the officials there about how this took place, why it took place, get an explanation. So that will not see the light of day, I don't think. But, we'll never know how that's turned out. I'm sure James Franklin will be asked this week that, how did those conversations go? And I'm sure he will decide not to comment on those. But, if there is any sort of recourse or admittance of wrongdoing, you know, we'll probably never know about it, but James Franklin
might. It'll happen at Big Ten meetings or whatever, right? Something behind closed doors. All right, let's get one more, another big storyline in this game. Noah Cain, the way he performed in the fourth quarter, it's exactly what we've seen from him to this point, but on a big stage, and we saw it in a different way. Here's James Franklin on Noah Cain.
Yeah, to end the ball on our terms like that, 4-minute offense, we haven't really been able to do that. You know, really under the old offensive system, under the new offensive system, even years we won the Big Ten championship, we weren't really able to do that against a good team on the road, one of the best defenses in the country. Really proud. I do think Noah is a downhill guy. Very little indecision. He sticks his foot in the ground. He gets down the hill. He's always falling forward. We went into this knowing he was going to be our 4-minute back. He continues to do great things. I'm really proud of him. I'm proud of our O-line. We didn't play perfect, but we're getting better. We are getting better. They really are. They're fighting. They're scratching. They're clawing. I'm proud of them. And I would also say this. We spent a lot of time in the off season. I felt like that our run game was not sophisticated enough. We were pretty much an inside zone and a power read team, and that was really it. So I like that we got more things for people to deal with. It helps in 2-minute situation. We're running the counter play where we got the guard pulling and now the tight end, following him and inserting. We got more diversity in our running game, which I think helps us, especially in 4-minute offense. So I think that's helped us become a little bit more balanced and a little bit more problematic to try to defend.
There's a lot of good stuff in this quote, and at least one of those things is, it's not something I really thought about or knew before. First of all, ending games on our terms was an interesting one, because I think Penn State has not ended a lot of games on their own terms, even games that they've won. I think there have been opportunities to kind of seal games with drives, and it didn't happen for whatever reason. Very little indecision, I thought, is a good way of kind of summing up Noah Cain in a nutshell. He thinks the offensive line's getting better. And this the part about in the offseason working on making the run game more sophisticated, we heard about some of the lengthy steps they took with Matt Limegrover and some of the things that they were trying to address. This is the first I'm hearing, the commitment to diversifying the run game and different blocking schemes and different types of plays. And I think it paid off in this game, makes them, puts a lot more on film, for example, to kind of game plan around being less simplistic in the running game. And at the same time, more sophisticated in the scheme, but I think more simplistic when Noah Cain is on the field and making the quick read and getting up the field. So it's an interesting combination there, but I think there's some staying power, there's some stickiness to the success that they had in the fourth quarter against Iowa in this regard.
Yeah, I couldn't say it much better myself. I do think that they are in a good spot now where they'll be able to replicate this down the road, whether they need it against Michigan, whether they need it against Minnesota, Michigan State, Ohio State, whatever. And I also thought it was encouraging that they did it for the first time on the road. It wasn't just the friendly confines of Beaver Stadium and the home crowd and the quiet on offense and all that. They did it when some pretty loud and rowdy Iowa fans were trying to knock them off their game late in the fourth quarter.
We're going to hear more from James Franklin. We'll take a quick break, come back, hear what he had to say about starting the game and how excited he was when the final buzzer sounded. Stick around.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.